That's Lee Morgan on trumpet and Jackie McLean on alto sax opening up on Midtown Blues. Also featuring some incredible sidemen, Bobby Timmons on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. It's from Morgan's 1960 album, Leeway. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and today we're talking about competing investigations is what we really need. Two competing deep dive probes of this allegation that Russia interfered in the U.S. presidential election, and we should see some more activity on the other side, but we're not seeing activity on the other side. Since President Obama's order for a deep dive probe of Russia's alleged role in fixing the 2016 presidential election to favor Donald Trump, this was Hillary Clinton's main reason for why she lost, there have been a number of demands for similar investigations by members of Congress. It's in the interest of protecting U.S. democracy, they say, although few hide their disdain for Trump and their neutrality about the situation. Many, in fact, have openly expressed a desire to torpedo Trump's presidency even before he gets there. Seizing the moment, therefore, we should take a look at this notion of the current passion. It has invaded our psyche and our news coverage. This passion, this ubiquitous passion for protecting the integrity of the domestic process at home, the democratic process at home. And we should see that there ought to be a triggering of a slew of investigations into U.S.-directed political and electoral interventions in other countries. I think it's only fair. If there is such an extraordinary interest in democracy, one would imagine that that interest is universal. In the same way that the United States values its democracy and would do just about anything to protect it, well, I think it's time to undertake some, do a kind of self-auditing. Is the United States interfering with the democratic process in other countries? Has it done so? Now, you can't just say, well, this is a one-sided thing, and this is, we're only talking about Trump. No, because they are talking across the board about what great value America places on the electoral process. One would assume that they believe the people calling for these investigations and deep into probes and all that stuff, they have a similar belief, because this should be a universal belief. This should be a universally protected process. And they should want to know whether the United States, is it possible that at some point in U.S. history, the United States has done the same thing in other countries, but we're not hearing anybody calling for such probes. It just is exclusive to this particular election at this particular time and for this particular purpose. I've been reading the stories in the media. Just amazing, amazing the things that they're saying. I want to share a story that appeared in the Business Insider. This is how it went. The headline, intelligence officials believe Putin was directly involved in the Democratic Party hacks. That's the headline. Written by Chris Sanchez. It starts, U.S. intelligence officials believe Russian President Vladimir Putin was most likely directly involved in the hacking campaign that targeted Democratic Party officials and organizations during the U.S. presidential election, NBC News reported Tuesday. Now, that's funny. That is very funny. The headline, intelligence officials believe Putin was directly involved in the Democratic Party hacks. What do you mean you believe? Do you know or don't you know? We're not interested in what you believe. We're interested in what you have proven. Let's get really serious now. No more fudging. We've had enough of that. You're undertaking an investigation at the direction of the President of the United States. We don't want to know what you believe. What has your probe proven so far? That's what we want to know. But here, a sycophantic media is reporting with some authority something that it itself cannot prove. It has no evidence for, it has no solid proof for, but they're reporting it as news. Okay. That's the first paragraph. Two of the unnamed intelligence officials cited by NBC News pointed to new evidence they say shows Putin directed the distribution of hacked emails and information from the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. More fuzziness. Nobody's committed here to saying, yes, we have proof. And we are calling a news conference to definitively report to the nation that we have found proof. The story, so far, nobody is named, no proof is reported, but people believing this. No, when you're in the intelligence world, it's not about what you believe. We're not interested in what you believe. We're interested in what you're able to prove. And if you haven't proven anything, then the news should be intelligence community hasn't yet proven anything, but they're still looking. That's a more appropriate headline. And now we have the Business Insider, which is reporting the story based on what other people have reported, which is inconclusive. All right. Maybe something is wrong with me and my notion of what journalism ought to be. WikiLeaks regularly published leaked documents in the weeks leading up to Election Day. WikiLeaks and other organizations also published other communications embarrassing to Democrats and Clinton at various points during the campaign. Okay. This is a very important paragraph. It comes to us in a kind of a nondescript kind of paragraph, but in fact is very, very important. And they missed their own point. WikiLeaks regularly published leaked documents in the weeks leading up to Election Day. The very next sentence, WikiLeaks and other organizations also published other communications embarrassing to Democrats and Clinton at various points during the campaign. Now, in the very previous paragraph, they said that Putin directed the distribution of hacked emails and information. Why is that significant? Because hacked emails and leaked documents are two entirely different things. The process of hacking and the process of leaking, two different things. Now, they may just say, well, it's all about spying. Well, we know about spying. Spying is universal. We'll get to that in a minute. But hacking involves people moving past whatever firewalls you have and stealing documents out of your computer system. That's hacking. Leaking is somebody walking out of an office with a pile of papers in their underwear that doesn't involve hacking. It's, in other words, an inside job, which was what Snowden was doing, leaking information, not hacking it. Two different methods here. So which is it that you're looking at? Or are you not making any distinction between the two? So we have to be clear here. What are you, if it is about hacking, then we can say, aha, this is an attack from the outside, passing through the firewalls. But so far as I know, and even Julian Assange announced it, the documents that were leaked by WikiLeaks were exactly that, leaked documents. Somebody from within a system, a bureaucratic system, was able to put his or her hands on seriously sensitive documents, made copies, and handed it to them. Got it to them. What does that mean? It means it's an inside job. Hacking is from the outside. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say interchangeably, these are leaked documents, but they were hacked documents. Or the system was hacked. Which is it that they're investigating? Not only did Julian Assange say that, it was confirmed by people within the industry, the Secret Service type industry, the intelligence community itself, leaked the documents from within. So this can't be, if it's information they took from inside, that pretty much says Putin is not responsible. Look inside. It has been confirmed that the documents were, in fact, the documents about from the DNC were from within the DNC, from within the Democratic Party. You can't have it both ways. And you can't try to confuse people to say, well, they couldn't have gotten this privileged information except by strange underhanded means. I agree. But was it an inside job, or was it from outside via Putin? Somebody has to make that clear. It's an inside job. And people have confirmed that it is from the inside. You see, these are the games that they play. Now, this is reported just as news. You would think the news report would say, well, wait a minute. We're reporting this as a Putin-instigated spying-type operation to tilt the election in Trump's favor. So that means it's an outside job. You can't tell us it's the same thing. If you're looking at leaked documents, it means the intelligence community is aware it's an inside job. So why are you telling people it's Putin? Just plain common sense, people. WikiLeaks regularly published... I read that paragraph. Let me read the ensuing paragraph here. Putin's goal, according to NBC News' sources, nobody is named, no attribution is certain here, it's a big cloud, a fog of stuff, was to undermine and discredit America as a global leader and to hurt Clinton. What's the significance of this one sentence? It's huge. First, you're saying the newspaper has no way of corroborating anything. It is not even pretending that it made such an attempt to get definitive proof of anything. But it states very definitively here, based on NBC's sources, not its own, that the purpose of all of this was to undermine and discredit America as a global leader and to hurt Clinton. Now, let me just pause here for a very short minute, because you really can't take too much of this stuff at one time, because your common sense becomes offended at this propaganda effort here. This is not to say that Russia doesn't spy on the United States. I absolutely believe it does. However, it is not an exception in the world of spying. Everybody is spying on each other. Every major power on the planet, and even some minor ones, they all spy. This is nothing new. They all seek to gather information so that it would help them, and this is the rationale for it, to be proactive in whatever it is they choose to do with the information. Spying is nothing new. If you really want to get an appreciation of how old spying is, just pick up a Bible, any King James or any other form of the Bible. Spying starts from the very beginning. So spying is not new. But they want the American people to feel that there's something very special about this spy. No, there's nothing really special here, except perhaps the modality of it. It's more technical, more high-tech, more cyber than before. But the very act of spying hasn't changed at all in millennia. Everybody spies on everybody else. Now, what they're saying is that this is not ordinary spying. First of all, nobody should be spying on the United States. The inference being the United States doesn't spy on anybody. And certainly nobody should be spying with a purpose in mind to undermine the democracy of this nation. Well, that's what your thinking is, but it is not reflected as a consistent policy in terms of your spying activities as it applies to other countries. It just isn't consistent with that. So all this holier-than-thou business, because it is convenient to create and to underscore or to even make more serious the ideological schism between the United States and Russia. We know that Barack Obama is not particularly highly regarded by Vladimir Putin, and it's the other way around. This is not unusual in the world scheme of things. One, spying has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. They're mixing up now for purposes of public consumption. They're saying the hacks are the same as the leaks, and they're two entirely different things. They're not inclined, however, to look at the leaks, which are from the inside. So therefore, we see already what the intention is. They're not interested in finding out what the truth is. They're interested in finding out the truth that would shore up a predetermined outcome. It would seem to me, if you're interested in really doing a deep dive into this, you would want to know where did the information come from inside the country, and from inside specifically the Democratic Party. And to which party does Hillary Clinton belong? The Democratic Party. So it means that there are forces within the Democratic Party that can't stand what is going on right now. And they're willing to bust it up this way. They're using their spying capabilities, which every country uses, to expose and to help defeat what Hillary Clinton inevitably was destined to be, which was president of the United States. That's really where the probe ought to go. You have a Democratic president. You have a Democratic vice president. The Democrats have ruled for the last 8 years. Why would a Democrat, and this had to be a high-level Democrat, disgusted with the Democratic Party, disgusted with Hillary Clinton, and the mere possibility that the program that they had concocted to undermine democracy right here at home, so that it was to be an inevitability that she would be president, in the same way that it was an inevitability that she was Secretary of State, that these things would not happen. That's a big story. That's the story. Don't tell me about Vladimir Putin because Hillary Clinton raised it as a red flag. Because she had no other explanation for why she lost. Because this was a fait accompli. You knocked out Bernie Sanders. You stole that election in the primary. Then you beat him up to a pulp, and of course he caved in because he had 13 million votes. You wanted those without having to pay for them or without having to procure them yourself. They don't want you. And that cannot possibly be the reason, from the Democratic point of view, that the Clintonites refused to accept that as a possibility, that she was really undesirable and unattractive as a candidate for president. Plus, of course, the arrogance that being an exceptional person, you don't have to work that hard. Trump worked his butt off. And by rules that they all agreed to, he won. Deal with it. But the story here is in that little sentence. It's just a two-liner. One sentence in which they gave the whole thing away. That they're looking at the electronic sabotage from Putin. But they're also looking at the leaks. Two different processes. Hacking, yeah, I can see how you can attribute some hacking to Russia. But leaks, uh-uh. Don't try to fool me on that one. Leaks is internal. It's an internal thing. The last thing they want to do is to now investigate themselves. Because I can put my last penny, and I think that's all I have left, but I can put my last penny that somebody, or perhaps a small group within the Democratic Party, had reached the point of no return on this corrupt Democratic Party and the equally, if not more so, corrupt presidential candidate. And they said, we have to do something. And that's where we got WikiLeaks. They produced the documents and they handed the documents physically. Somebody physically transported those documents so that they ended up in WikiLeaks' hands, and WikiLeaks published them. But let us not be fooled. There is an internal problem going on here, and I find it exciting. It's an exciting development. Russia spying on the United States spying on Russia, that's not news. That's old, 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 old news. But the possibility that the Democratic Party itself is so fractured that there's a movement within the Democratic Party to torpedo the big icon of the party this time around, which is Hillary, to make sure that she lost. To move against her in the way of supplying information from the inside about what her campaign was doing in order to prevail as the nominee and now as president. See, that's my analysis. Now, I want to return to this thing about how dedicated members of Congress are, the president, they're all dedicated to protecting the integrity of the vote and the democratic process of the United States, which is to be unassailable. Nobody's supposed to mess with it, and certainly nobody's supposed to mess with it and get away with it. As I mentioned, the tone of the discussion, even I played that tape in which George Stephanopoulos, a Clintonite, asks Reince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, whether Trump is prepared to retaliate. They're stoking. They're setting all things in motion to make it come to a crescendo of a showdown that may possibly even involve military action. They're prepared to even go that far. That's how crazy they are and how crazy the situation is. You know, it is very, very scary that people would think nothing of this at all. They just want to prevail, and it is consistent with the Clinton approach to politics and even to life. This is a classic zero-sum way of thinking. It means nothing to me to be rich if you are also rich. So for me to be satisfied about being rich, I must make it possible for you to be poor. I feel great about having all of these things, this wealth and everything. I feel better about it if I can use you as a contrast who have nothing. That's the way they think. You have none, you get some. You get some, you want more. You have more, you want more, more. And then you get more, more, and you want more for all time. That is just what Gary was talking about people, the thinking of the oligarchy. That's what drives the oligarchy. We want everything, and we want everything for all time. We also wish, we don't want you to have much. or anything, because that would make us feel less valuable to ourselves. We can't have a situation where we all are doing reasonably well. That's not good. We have to have a situation where the contrast is so stark. That is very important, a very important element of being wealthy and powerful. I want to read to you a story. I referred to it only cursorily yesterday. It was a story printed in the Washington Post, and it goes back to October 13th, the long history of the U.S. interfering with elections elsewhere. The author, the writer, is Ihsan Tarur. I'm going to read this because it's very instructive. One of the more alarming narratives of the 2016 U.S. election campaign is that of the Kremlin apparently meddling. Last week, the United States formally accused the Russian government of stealing and disclosing emails from the Democratic National Committee and the individual accounts of prominent Washington insiders. Just keep in mind what I just said. The hacks, in part leaked by WikiLeaks, have led to loud declarations that Moscow is eager for the victory of Republican nominee Donald Trump, whose rhetoric has unsettled Washington's traditional European allies and even thrown the future of NATO, Russia's bête noire, into doubt. Leading Russian officials have balked at the Obama administration's claim. In an interview with CNN, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov dismissed the suggestion of interference as ridiculous. Mind you, I said this was filed in October. Though he said it was flattering that Washington would point the finger at Moscow, at a time of pronounced regional tensions in the Middle East and elsewhere, there's no love between Kremlin officials and their American counterparts. To be sure, there's a much larger context behind the bluster. As my colleague Andrew Roth notes, whatever their government's alleged actions in 2016, Russia's leaders enjoy casting aspersions on the American democratic process. And in recent years, they have also bristled at perceived U.S. meddling in the politics of countries on Russia's borders, most notably in Ukraine. While the days of its worst behavior are long behind it, the United States does have a well-documented history of interfering and sometimes interrupting the workings of democracies elsewhere. It has occupied and intervened militarily in a whole swath of countries in the Caribbean and Latin America and fomented coups against democratically elected populists. The most infamous episodes include the ousting of Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953, whose government was replaced by an authoritarian monarchy favorable to Washington. The removal and assassination of Congolese leader Patrice Lumumba in 1961, and the violent toppling of socialist Chilean President Salvador Allende, whose government was swept aside in 1973 by a military coup led by the ruthless General Augusto Pinochet. For decades, these actions were considered imperatives of the Cold War, part of a global struggle against the Soviet Union and its supposed leftist proxies. Its key participants included scheming diplomats like John Foster Dulles and Henry Kissinger, who advocated aggressive, covert policies to stanch the supposedly expanding threat of communism. Sometimes that agenda also explicitly converged with the interests of U.S. business. In 1954, Washington unseated Guatemala's left-wing president, Jacobo Arbenz, who had had the temerity to challenge the vast control of the United Fruit Company, a U.S. corporation, with agrarian laws that would be fairer to Guatemalan farmers. The CIA went on to install and back a series of right-wing dictatorships that brutalized the impoverished nation for almost half a century. Aside from its instigation of coups and alliances with right-wing juntas, Washington sought to more subtly influence elections in all corners of the world, and so did Moscow. Political scientist Dove Levin calculates that the two powers intervened in 117 elections around the world from 1946 to 2000, an average of once in every nine competitive elections. In the late 1940s, the newly established CIA cut its teeth in Western Europe, pushing back against some of the continent's most influential leftist parties and labor unions. In 1948, the United States propped up Italy's centrist Christian Democrats and helped ensure the electoral victory against a leftist coalition anchored by one of the most powerful communist parties in Europe. CIA operatives gave millions of dollars to the Italian allies and helped orchestrate what was then an unprecedented clandestine propaganda campaign. This included forging documents to besmirch communist leaders via fabricated sex scandals, starting a mass letter-writing campaign from Italian Americans to their compatriots, and spreading hysteria about a Russian takeover and the undermining of the Catholic Church. This template spread everywhere. CIA operative Edward G. Lansdale, notorious for his efforts to bring down the North Vietnamese government, is said to have run the successful 1953 campaign of Philippines President Ramon Magsaysay. Japan's central-right liberal democratic party was backed with secret American funds through the 1950s and the 1960s. The U.S. government and American oil corporations helped Christian parties in Lebanon win crucial elections in 1957 with briefcases full of cash. In Chile, the United States prevented Allende from winning an election in 1964. A total of nearly $4 million was spent on some 15 covert action projects, ranging from organizing slum dwellers to passing funds to political parties, detailed in a Senate inquiry in the mid-1970s that started to expose the role of the CIA in overseas elections. When it couldn't defeat Allende at the ballot box in 1970, Washington decided to remove him anyway. I don't see why we need to stand by and watch a country go communist due to the irresponsibility of its own people, Kissinger is said to have quipped. The United States has largely brought its covert actions into the open with organizations like the more benign National Endowment for Democracy, which seeks to bolster civil society and democratic institutions around the world through grants and other assistance. Still, U.S. critics see the American hand in a range of more recent elections, from Honduras to Venezuela to Ukraine. It goes on in greater detail. But that's just a taste of how the United States respects and reveres the principle of the democratic process, which if we go by how it is positioning itself now with these probes, if the U.S. is entitled to enjoy this this privilege, this right, certainly other countries are entitled to enjoy the same right. And if there's to be an investigation of Russia and its role in shaping and fixing the outcome of the 2016 election to favor Trump, certainly it is incumbent upon the same Congress, the same people trying to arrive at the truth, to see how the U.S.'s actions have imperiled and impeded democracy all over the world. The examples cited here so far are just a smidgen, a very few of the examples that we can certainly cite of how Europe, the United States, continues to undermine democracy. But it is it's something that is happening here. So a couple of things. Let's revisit, shall we? This notion that to our horror, we should be horrified that we are being spied upon as a country. Again, every country, practically every country on the planet, has some mechanism of spying. Some justify it that it is related to security. Some justify it as gathering information that would be necessary to prepare themselves for attack and other reasons. Some justify it as a way to bring down entire governments. It's just another arsenal in the tool, in their arsenal to be able to bring down governments and, you know, do all kinds of underhanded things. Because it's not just this nature. They'd like us all to believe that the government always is about doing good. It isn't. It never has been the case. Governments lie. Governments manipulate. Governments do all kinds of evil things. And this kind of operation is part and parcel of how they get these things done. As I just said, it's part of their arsenal. So to make it appear that, oh my God, we have just discovered that Russia is spying. Well, you know, it's doing what you're doing. It's doing exactly what you're doing. It said right here, you know, Iran had a well-functioning democracy. The United States said, nah, we don't want that. We want an autocratic king. And they made one. And then the Shah, they made him too. So we have to resist all of these efforts to colonize our minds and make us believe that this is an isolated event and they're trying to take care of business. They're trying to get to the bottom of it so that it wouldn't happen again. But if this works, this probe works, we will know that it works if Hillary Clinton is put into place as president. That means that they have countered Russia's bad intention, and now they have restored the rightful person to occupy the White House. That's what they're trying to prepare us for. Now, whether you like Donald Trump, whether you approve of Donald Trump, is not even an issue here. The issue is, look what is happening. look what is happening. A government arbitrarily is deciding because it has a huge interest in somebody who was not elected, who was rebuffed. But that person is so well connected that she has been able to force our attention to go in a particular pattern, force the government to take particular action, and even now to ramp it up to the point where it is quite possible that this could lead to major civil unrest and even war. And again, I am not going to have it unsaid. The Green Party opened this door. It can't escape from that. Why are we talking about these things as if they're brand new? And in as much as we're talking about this stuff, why is there no action to compel a really thorough investigation? If you're going to have a thorough investigation, this is the time for people like Bernie Sanders and Jesse Jackson and Dennis Kucinich and all these folks who had come before us and said they're interested in justice. Well, here's a perfect opportunity for your voice to be heard. This can't be a complete investigation without looking at the issues I just raised. It is not just about what Russia allegedly is doing or has done. It's also about what the United States has been doing and continues to do, causing all kinds of havoc in the world, all around the world, utilizing this method as one of its principal efforts to undermine other people's democracies, to create civil unrest, just like in Syria, which they're politely describing as a civil war. No, it's an instigated war. It's instigated. Just like when Hillary Clinton said that Muammar Gaddafi has got to go. So he was assassinated, and she celebrated. We came, we saw, he's dead. Ha 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 ha. Just like when Bill Clinton went down to Haiti and with the military behind him and removed the democratically elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, banished the man from his own country. And a few years later, Hillary Clinton goes down and personally installs the president she prefers. And she was just Secretary of State. If she was so out of control then, could you imagine what would happen with a Hillary Clinton as president of the United States? You could expect war at any time for strange reasons, such as, well, I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't like that country anyway. This is the time to speak up. And especially from the progressive community, we ought to have a very loud chorus demanding thorough investigation, which would include not just this isolated situation, this in this period of time, but we ought to take a long overview, and we will see that there is bipartisan agreement. There always has been bipartisan agreement to do these kinds of things to other countries that they will not tolerate here. We absolutely have to do that. It's our duty to raise the questions and to be loud about it and not have it centered. This is not about Hillary Clinton and her strange egotistical needs. This is about calling a country to account. Because in the meantime, none of this would succeed if the people who are targeted, that's us, if we put up a resistance to it. We're not frightened to know that Russia is spying, because we know that all countries are spying. Because you're spying even on your own. So why should we be so stunned that Russia is spying too? They all spy. So let's keep perspective. Let's not get alarmed. But let's send signals to them that we are not easily manipulated. We won't be manipulated with this nonsense. That this is in the interest of democracy. And the attack is from outside. When they know damn well it's from within the Democratic Party itself. And from within the intelligence community itself. And I wish these news outlets would actually do some news, actually do some journalism. It would be really refreshing for them to respect the calling of journalism, do some due diligence, and don't be so fast and loose to be sycophants and mouthpieces and stenographers. Be real reporters. And really go after the truth. And not join in this program to fool the people, to pull the wool over our eyes, and to have us become unwitting allies in a very nefarious cause. Thanks so much for listening. Let me know what you think about the program at leadstories@gmail.com. I really think it is important. This proves the importance of a station like PRN. And I will soon be asking you, as an end-of-the-year gift to the station, to support the station, to make it a point to support the station before the end of the year. But I would do that in a coordinated fashion, and we will have a love gift to PRN before the end of the year, as our indication of the value we place on the station. So thanks for listening. Expanding Mind with Eric Davis comes up next. You want to stay tuned for that. And you can reach me, again, at leadstories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.